Support comes from Sunday Morning Cafe, founded by researcher, speaker, and therapist Dr. Tom Wagner, offering mini retreats with live music and online resources to build resilience and community. SundayMorningCafe.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, May 26th. I'm Abby Larico. Juan Baltazar was one of five people killed in last May's tornado. His friends and family say it's been a tough year without him, but they remember his acts of service.
He was there for the Black History Program, helped me serve the food and cut it all up and everything, so he was awesome. Like, he was willing to help volunteer anytime.
St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson spoke with some of Baltazar's loved ones at a gathering to celebrate his life 1 year later. We'll talk about it coming up after this news on The Gateway. Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe has placed four measures on the August primary ballot. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has details on one item at the centerpiece of Kehoe's first-term agenda.
Among the proposed constitutional amendments Kehoe moved from November to August is a plan to make it much harder to approve some constitutional amendments. The GOP governor also moved to the August 4th primary a proposal allowing the legislature to raise sales and use taxes as a way to eliminate the income tax. Kehoe has said the tax plan is one of his top priorities.
We campaigned on this. We looked Missourians in the eye and said, we believe this is a good thing for our state.
Kehoe also moved a reauthorization of a soil and park sales tax and a measure making the Jackson County assessor an elected office to the August 4th primary. At least three proposed constitutional amendments will be on the November ballot. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
And one of those November ballot items seeks to overturn a 2024 constitutional amendment protecting abortion rights. A provision passed in the state legislature will allow Missourians to pick up a full year's worth of birth control at once. The bill applies to birth control pills and other self-administered forms of contraception, but does not apply to emergency contraception, also known as the morning after pill. The bill's sponsor, Representative Tara Peters of Phelps County, says having to pick up prescriptions regularly can create obstacles for women who don't want to get pregnant.
We have OBGYN care that's in rural areas is not really easily accessible. And so I hope this is going to allow those women to have less conflict when it comes to accessing contraception. I hope that this is a tool that women will greatly use.
Peters is a Republican who self-identifies as pro-life. She says that having birth control made accessible is especially important in a state where abortion is not available. Missouri's Medicaid program already allows patients to purchase a one-year supply of birth control. The Archdiocese of St. Louis backs policies that would ban some forms of gender-affirming care and restrict where transgender people can use the bathroom. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Katie Gravich reports, a South St. Louis nun is making space for Catholic parents who support their transgender children.
Sister Nancy Corcoran with the Sisters of St. Joseph of Carondelet has spent the last 2 years hosting meetings for Catholic parents of transgender children. She says some Catholic parents need a space to reconcile their beliefs with their support of their child's transition. Corcoran says she remains hopeful that the Catholic Church will have a change of heart.
When I go into a group and I say I'm a Roman Catholic nun, I literally represent the Roman Catholic Church because nobody else is there. I love the church as much as the parents do, but I can critique it because I love it.
Corcoran was a guest on St. Louis on the Air. The Archdiocese is aware of the meetings but does not endorse them. I'm Katie Gravich, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri's unemployment rate remains steady in April at 3.8%, but a business consulting firm predicts the job outlook for seasonal summer work is very weak. Teen summer employment hit a 77-year low last year, according to business coaching firm Challenger Gray & Christmas, and the firm predicts teen hiring will slow even more this summer. A recent report explains consumers are stretched thin due to rising inflation, high oil prices, and an already contracted job market. That means consumers are spending less on entertainment and leisure, which account for a huge share of teen summer jobs. The report also predicts long-term hiring contractions as entry-level jobs available to teens become increasingly automated. A community center in St. Louis's Jeff Vanderloo neighborhood is a step closer to reopening. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman has details.
The George Washington Carver House offered job training and other social services at the corner of Bell and Cardinal Avenues until its abrupt closure in the 1990s. The local charitable arm of a historically black fraternity acquired the building in 2016. Now, using $600,000 from the ARPA-funded Northside Business Grant Program, the Sigma Legacy Foundation will rehab part of the building for use as a community space. Foundation President Gerald Christmas says it feels remarkable to be so close.
I try not to get too excited about it, but it really is a great thing. Just trying to get to this point has been quite a bit.
The foundation first applied for the money in 2024. The grant should be awarded by the end of the month. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
No diving, no running, and no swimming at all at two St. Louis County rec centers this summer. The season has begun without St. Vincent Community or Kennedy Recreation Centers opening their pools. They're staying empty for 2026 because of a depleted St. Louis County budget. County Executive Sam Page announced earlier this year that the slimmed-down budget approved by the council required cutbacks like this for the parks and other county departments. These pools had higher repair costs and lower attendance than the others. St. Louis County Recreation Superintendent Alyssa Grodicke says the department has worked with summer camps and other community groups that typically rely on the pools to get them to facilities that are open.
It's going to look a little different for us this year, but we're still going into it with the same excitement, and the gusto that we have to serve our community and invite them out to, make some summer memories.
The pools at the Pavilion at Lime and North County Recreation Complex are now open daily. Juan Baltazar is one of five people who died during last year's May 16th tornado. He was known in the St. Louis community for his warm personality and his wood-roasted corn. As St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports, Baltazar's loved ones say his untimely death has been difficult for the family to grasp.
Come on! There's a party going on in the backyard of Rachel Baltazar's home in Dutchtown. Red nylon star balloons that are tied on the fence are blowing in the wind. Children are chasing each other with foam pool noodles, and hot dogs are sizzling on the grill. Rachel is making sure everyone is enjoying themselves and has a plate of food.
I made some, our team made some, and Jenny made some.
I heard
that. And Miss Chardon. Everybody made a little something.
There's carnitas, guacamole, some ribs, queso fresco, salsa, fresh tortillas, and two types of cakes. Rachel hosted this backyard barbecue to celebrate the life of her late husband, Juan Baltazar. On May 16, 2025, he was driving through Carondelet Park when high winds from an EF3 tornado caused a tree to fall on his truck, which killed him within minutes. Juan was known in the community as the corn guy. He owned a popular food truck that sold wood-roasted corn on a cob with all the toppings. However, Rachel sold the truck last year to help make ends meet. While the children were playing, Rachel and her loved ones sat on the patio reminiscing about times with her beloved husband.
When we first went out to eat, he ordered the whole cooked fish, whole face and everything still on it. And when they put it down, the face was pointed at me. I made him turn his plate around because I didn't want it looking at me.
Juan is the father of seven children, with three living in the St. Louis area and four in Mexico. He was active in each of his children's lives. Tequila Pruitt, his youngest daughter's first grade teacher, says she misses his generosity.
Like, he was willing to help volunteer anytime. I literally nominated the Baltazar family for Family of the Year award last year. I nominated them because they always showed up.
Jenny Hartley, who is the mother of one of Juan's older sons, says life without him has been challenging for her son, Martin.
He's more reserved, quieter. He's always been reserved and quiet, but I mean, you can literally, he won't come out of his room like at all unless we're forcing him to do things.
Rachel says her and Juan's youngest son is also experiencing some emotional pain. She notices their four-year-old is easily irritated at times, both at preschool and at home. She says Juan's family in Mexico is also having a hard time dealing with his death because they couldn't properly say goodbye. Last year, the Trump administration tightened its immigration efforts and made it impossible for most of Juan's family in Mexico to obtain an emergency visa to attend the funeral. Both Hartley and Rachel especially feel deep sorrow for his mother, who is also in Mexico.
Even her like Facebook posts and social media, just every day, you know, just how broken her heart is, and you know, grief of Mother's Day, not getting a phone call from him.
They didn't go not one day talking to each other on the phone.
He's a mama's boy. Yeah.
Rachel says grief greets her at work or at home. But she's trying her best to remember the good times with Juan, and she shares those memories with her children so they won't forget their dad.
I made picture books. I made them pillowcase covers with their picture of their dad, so it's like they can still sleep with him. I made myself one too.
Earlier this month, Rachel filed a lawsuit against St. Louis's Emergency Management Agency and Forestry Division. She wants the department to release public records she requested last September about the May 16 tornado. Rachel says having this information would give her family some peace. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Brian Moline edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.